Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. So I'm Christine Ross. I'm a director at McGill. So I just wanted to just briefly welcome you to this panel, which is one of the key events of Media at McGill for this year. And the theme for the year is media, war, and conflict. And so this panel fully addresses, you know, that theme. For those of you who do not know Media at McGill, just briefly to mention that it is actually a center, a hub of interdisciplinary research, scholarship, and public outreach, dealing with issues of media, culture, and technology. And it is housed in the Department of Art History and Communication Studies. So today's panel is entitled The Role of Media in the Arab Spring and Its Aftermath, The Special Case of Egypt. And so we have three amazing speakers who are going to address this question today, Zeynep Tufekci, Sahar Kamis, and Mark Lynch. So just to give you a bit of a sense of the structure of the conference today, the panel, each presentation will last about 40 minutes and will be followed by a brief Q&A with the audience. And then at the end of the session, after the three speakers will have given their talks, we'll have time also to address, to have a larger discussion with the three panelists. Please note also that there's going to be a 15-minute coffee break between the second and the third speakers around 4 p.m. So today's panel will be introduced by Professor Leila Parsons, a specialist in the history of 20th century Middle East, with a joint appointment in the Department of History and Classical Studies and the Institute of Islamic Studies at McGill. Also to mention that the individual presenters will be introduced by Dr. Mohamed Ben Moussa, a postdoctoral researcher working in the Department of Art History and Communication Studies, whose own research involves studying social media and social movements during the Arab Spring. So without further ado, I'm going to give the microphone to Professor Leila Parsons. Have a nice afternoon.
Good afternoon, I'm Leila Parsons. And as Christine said, I teach modern Middle East history here at McGill, and I hold a joint position in the Institute for Islamic Studies and in the History Department. And I was invited by Christine just to give a very brief 5-minute historical introduction to this impressive panel today. For the last 20 years, the political landscape of the Middle East, from Morocco to Iraq, has been dominated by popular anger against the corruption of presidents and kings, many, if not most of them, supported by the West. The leadership cults created by many Middle Eastern leaders only served to intensify these feelings. Murals and statues depicting benevolent fathers of the Arab nations, be it Mubarak in Egypt, Ben Ali in Tunisia, Saddam Hussein in Iraq, Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, or Bashar al-Assad in Syria, were and are daily reminders of the humiliating divergence between the lives of most people and the lives of their leaders. Young men and women grew sick of being told what was good for them by mostly old men who had been enriching themselves and their families for decades. The fact that many of these leaders enjoyed the strong support of the West simply because they towed the line on Israel or ensured a stable supply of oil made them even more unpopular. The cronyism and patronage of these regimes, combined with heavy state and bureaucratic control over the lives of ordinary people, as well as increasing unemployment and price inflation, began to make life for many people intolerable. On the 17th of December 2010, the 26-year-old Mohamed Bouazizi was selling vegetables from his vegetable cart in the town of Sidi Bouzid in Tunisia. He was the sole income earner for a family of eight. A policewoman confiscated his cart when he was not able to produce a license for selling his vegetables. When he tried to pay the fine, she slapped him and spat in his face, saying that the fine was not enough. He then went to the municipal authorities to complain, but they refused to see him. An hour later, he set himself on fire in front of the municipal headquarters in Sidi Bouzid. This single act of protest sparked a nationwide revolt in Tunisia that led to the fall of Zain El Abidine Ben Ali, who had been in power for over 20 years. Following the lead of the Tunisians, ordinary people in Egypt then rose up against Hosni Mubarak, forcing him to leave office on February 11, 2011. Mubarak had been in power for 30 years. Then Libyan revolutionaries seized control of the major cities of Libya, and the former leader of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, was ousted and killed. At the end of February 2012, the Yemeni president, Ali Abdullah Saleh, was also ousted from power. But the leaders of Bahrain and Syria remained stubbornly in place, continuing to orchestrate brutal crackdowns on those who have taken to the streets in an attempt to overturn their regimes. These crackdowns have resulted in the deaths of many thousands of Arab citizens, as well as the arrest, imprisonment, torture, expulsion, and exodus of many thousands more. It's very important not to forget the human suffering that is a part of this story and that is ongoing. It is too early to say whether the Arab Spring will result in the establishment of stable, representative government in the Middle East. Certainly, the events of the past few months in Egypt in particular have called this into question. But the massive popular protests of the Arab Spring have shown that the old system of Western-supported authoritarian rule, rooted in the deep history of British and French colonialism in the 20th century Middle East, is facing its most serious challenge since Nasser's nationalization of the Suez Canal Company in 1956 and the Iranian Revolution of 1979. When explaining the uprisings of 2011, different analysts point to different causes. Some argue that the sharp decline in the global economy following the banking collapse of 2008 created acute deprivation in most countries of the Middle East, and that people turned against their rulers out of economic desperation. Others claim that the corruption and repression of these decades-old dictatorships had reached such intense levels that people simply couldn't take it anymore. This compelled people to take to the streets at great personal risk to call for dignity, justice, and rights. Some people also point to the fact that trade unions and activists had been laying the ground for resistance against authoritarian rule for many years before 2011. Still others maintain that the new satellite television stations, such as Al Jazeera, provided a crucial impetus and outlet for dissent. In addition, many activists took advantage of the newly available social networks, in particular Facebook and Twitter, which provided them with an effective means of political organization that these authoritarian states had not yet learned to control. It is this aspect of the Arab Spring and its aftermath, namely the role of the media, that is the focus of today's distinguished panel. And I'm going to hand over now to Mohammed Ben Moussa, who's a postdoctoral fellow in the Department of Art, History and Communications, who will introduce the three panelists. Thank you very much.